Praise the Lord, saints. For those that don't know who I am, my name is Tony Sanchez, and I've been among the saints here since 2007, but started getting acquainted via the old writings of the older Reformation writers in 2003 and so on. And my wife and I have been laboring in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. That's Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, just across from El Paso, Texas. We live in El Paso, Texas, but we preach God's word with his help and only by his grace and help in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And the thought today is, he restoreth my soul. And it could also be titled, he maketh all things new. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Before I get off track, I just want to share my burden first, and that is not necessarily the act of restoration, but what the steps to restoration. We're also going to be mentioning about restoration and what occurs, but I'd like to mention those steps right now before I get sidetracked. There's many, but these are the basic ones. If you have a car broken, you have to realize that something is wrong. You have to hear it, see it, realize it before you take the vehicle to be fixed. So one of the things that it takes to be restored is the realization or the acknowledgement of a need. Another one is once you know the need, you start seeking for someone to meet that need, to restore that broken issue with your house, vehicle, plumbing, or your soul. So the second step would be seeking, asking, and knocking, what Jesus taught. Another one would be to believe that that person that once you've realized it and you've been looking and you find, to have faith that that person can do it, to trust them, to have confidence. And then the last step is committing it, turning it over to them. And then that's where the restoration begins. True? Am I off track? There was once a young child that, it's also a poem, you might have heard this story, but I enjoy it, it comes to my mind often, because it's spoken to my heart often also. There was a little boy that had a broken vehicle, it was a little toy vehicle, a little car toy, and he knew his dad could do anything, he trusted that his dad could do anything. He says, Daddy, I broke my toy and I want you to fix it, I know you can fix it. And so the dad says, well, good, give it to me. And so he handed it over to him, but the boy wouldn't let go of it. He said, no, fix it like that while I'm holding on to it. Daddy said, no, you need to give it to me so I can fix it. And so aren't we many times that way, saints? We think maybe our friend can fix it. We want the advice, but we don't want to tell him all or her all the details. We want somebody to help us, but we're not willing to commit. We're not willing to surrender. And I'm so thankful that that little story makes a very simple point, but it's so very true. If we do not turn it all over to the Lord, our cares, our past, our tangled mess, then he cannot restore it. He cannot begin to work, change, renew, restore. He can't do it. And that's really the burden of us all. That's why we have these altars before us. Restoration for those that need salvation, and then restoration for those that need to be re-restored again. Amen? We need to be renewed again. Yes. Something occurred with our... We have two vehicles, one that we call our mission van, and then another one that we call our Monarch Guthrie camp meeting traveling van. They were both just a little over $2,000 each. And anyway, the 2000 Venture, Chevrolet Venture is out here. And when I purchased it, the air conditioning wasn't very strong. It was enough to kind of tease you. You'd cool off a little bit. And then it started getting worse. And so I started checking out what would cause it not to work, because it's going to be expensive. And I researched it, and I put it off for almost 3 years. And then it started getting hotter and hotter. And we were traveling, and I said, well, I need to get it fixed. And we'd have money, and then we'd have to use that money for something else. And then we put it off. And, well, 3 years went by. And finally, I took it in. I said, I'm going to go ahead and get it done right the day before we came to Monarch, because there was so much to do. I said, I've got to have air. I'm going to pass out driving to Monarch. all those hours you would drive. So I took it in, and I had already researched it. I found out that if it wasn't giving enough air, that it would have to be the fan blower. The fan blower is a little like a little fan in a circle, at least mine was. And then it's connected to a mortar resistor, and it's like a little fan, and it blows into this filter, these tubes, and into a filter, and then it blows into your car. And it passes through the Freon refrigerated air, and it cools your vehicle. Well, I took it to him, and I told him, I think it's the fan blower. He says, well, it could also be the resistor, or it could be the cabin filters. And I said, well, where's the cabin filter at? I didn't even know where that was. Believe it or not, Saints, I was that ignorant. I know some about vehicles, but not too much about that. And I knew about oil filters and the filter underneath the mortar filter. I forget what that's called. But I didn't really realize much about the cabin filter. It's located. You open your glove box, these minus, and it has a little box. And I just, all I had was what I've done, pull it out. Well, that's the first thing he did. He pulled it out. When he pulled it out, there were these two long filters. And he put it on the floor, and I decided to look at them, and they were clogged up this much with sand. We don't have a garage, so we park under these trees that throw out yellow blooms and leaves. And when I turned them over to empty, there was about 2.5 cups of dirt and gunk. And my air was supposed to be passing through there. So anyway, that was one of the things that the owner was supposed to order, the cabin filter, the fan blower and the resistor mortar, they all go together. But he forgot about the filter. Well, good thing we could restore it. Yeah. I knocked out all the junk, and I got a brush, and I started brushing it out while the mechanic was taking out the blower fan and the resistor out from underneath the glove box. And then he said, well, don't worry. When I finished, I have a real good blower attached to a compressor, and I'll blow it out. And I thought I had done a good job, but when he blew it out, more stuff came out. I mean, I had to get away. And so what's the whole point? When they got all done and they replaced my burned out mortar resistor, which connects to the fan blower, and we got the cabin filter cleaned out, he turned it on, and it first started blowing hot air, of course. Once it cooled off, then it started blowing a lot of cold air. And I was going, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long if this was 3 years of being miserable? Sometimes in the winter it was wonderful, but in the summer, we'd stop at a stop sign and say, let's open the doors. We'd open the door and people behind us were like, what are they doing? Open the doors. And then I bought this little fan to connect into the cigarette lighter and a little fan, and I put it here and I put it there and trying to cool off. And now I go, how foolish. Why did I wait so long for such a simple procedure? I want to encourage you today. Yes. If you've been putting off, as the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. Yes. If you've been putting off the Lord restoring your soul, I want to tell you, it's free. Yes. You won't have to pay anything. Just follow these steps. Now, there'll be a cost to pay later on. Serving the Lord costs us everything. Salvation is free, but serving the Lord costs, but restoration, it's free. It's been paid for. I had to pay for that. I put it off because I thought it was going to be expensive. It really was about $200. It wasn't billions of dollars. I could have gradually quit drinking this and buying that, chips, and paid for it in the beginning. But I thought it was going to be complicated. I thought something was more complicated. I want to encourage you. Do you want your soul restored? Do you want what Brother Michael has? Do you want what Brother Ivanek has? Do you want what Sister Maxine has? I don't know who you look up to of the saints, sir. You're here for a reason. Amen? Quit putting it off. It's more simpler than you think. Well, on the way to Monarch, it got so cold, I had to turn it off 5 times. I was freezing. My hands were freezing. I had to turn it off. That's how good the restoration was, saints. The restoration, that's physical, but when the Lord restores you, woo, praise the Lord. You could be 100 years old, you could be leaping for joy. You could have your battery blow up and your mother-in-law die, and you could still, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Amen? Because he's restored your soul. One problem after the other problem, and yes, there'll be sorrow. Jesus was grieved. Jesus was sorrowful. But the joy outweighs the sorrow, amen? He restoreth my soul, and he wants to restore to you the joy that he intended for mankind to have, the joy that you can have in your marriage, the joy that you can have as a father-son relationship, the joy that you can have with your boss, the joy that you can have with your neighbors. He can restore your attitude. So your attitude will be right in those trying, very difficult situations. Amen? So God is the Father in heaven. He's the creator. The toy, it's not a toy, it's our soul. And we want the problem to be fixed. We want a better marriage. We want a better relationship. We want to get along better with the mother-in-law. But he has to restore your soul. And when he restores it, you're going to say, why did I wait so long? Don't wait till you're 90. Don't wait until you have Alzheimer's or dementia and you can't even pray. You don't even know who God is, much less who you are. Amen? It could be too late. It could be, you could be going off that cliff, ready to fall into the ocean. And you might not have time to pray. Someone might come out and shoot you and mistaking you like they do in Ciudad Juarez, thinking that you're that drug dealer that did me wrong, and they shoot you. You won't have time to pray. You won't have time to hand over your soul to the great restorer. Amen, Jesus Christ. He maketh all things new. If you're waiting, I want to encourage you, don't wait any longer. Let him restore your filter. The Lord brought to my mind, what could be a filter, spiritually speaking? Our conscience. If your conscience is broken, nothing can be filtered. You're into adultery, you don't feel bad, you could be smoking, you could be stealing from your own mother. Those that are on drugs, they steal from their own parents and they don't feel one twinge of guilt. And they'll lie about it. I've handed money to people that say, I need money for the bus route or for shoes. And later on I find out that they're using it on drugs. And I say, how can you look at the pastor in his eyes and lie? Why? The filter's clogged up. The filter's dirty. The mortar, there's no Holy Spirit there to convict you. The mortar's burned out. Amen? Who's understanding? It says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Just talking about in the days of Paul the Apostle, they had these temples, as we all know, they offered meat to them. Sometimes this meat would be sold in the market and you'd buy it. And Paul went into a long discussion about whether you should or shouldn't eat it. That's not the point right now. The point is that your conscience can be defiled. If you're not serving the Lord, I can assure you your conscience has been defiled long ago. And it will only continue to get worse and worse. But I'm so thankful that just like that filter, you might not even know where your conscience is at. You might not even know what your conscience is. Like, I didn't know where the cabin filter was. I didn't know. I just don't know that much about mechanics. I know some, not totally ignorant. But I sure didn't know about the cabin filter. I sure didn't know that I could have pulled it out and bought another one, and it might have helped before it burned out completely. Because it was clogged up, it burned out. The mortar worked so hard that it burned out the fan blower, and it burned it all out because it was trying to suck through all that gunk. No wonder so many are burdened down. No wonder so many want to commit suicide. No wonder so many don't know what to do. Their conscience is clogged up. I want to encourage you today. You can get up from this service after you get down from your knees. Get up from your knees. And you can get up with your filter unclogged. Your mortar replaced. He'll give you a new heart. He'll take away the stony heart. Take away the broken heart, the stone of heart, the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? Oh, and their conscience being weak is defiled. It also says in Hebrews 10, 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, who's our high priest? Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Having our hearts sprinkled with what? The precious blood of Jesus. From an evil conscience. If you have an evil conscience, you might be cheating on your wife. You might be abusing your children. You might be cheating on your taxes. You might be looking at things that defile your heart, soul, and mind because you have an evil conscience. But there's a good news. Just like that filter could be restored, the broken parts exchanged out, the heart of stone can be taken out, your defiled conscience can be removed, your evil conscience can be removed right now. And you can get up from monarch and from now on enjoy every monarch. Be able to go, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You won't be like this, when is this going to end? And it's boring. You'll be enjoying it. You'll be rejoicing, amen. It'll come alive to you. It'll mean something to you, amen. Go, oh, that preacher really preaches. You won't be saying that anymore. You go, he preached an hour? It sounded like 10 minutes to me. Because it's that exciting. It's that wonderful when you're into the Lord, amen. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now they're speaking about those that were once saved. They had their conscience purified. They had their filter clean, but they got careless and they let gunk get caught in the filter again. Their mortar burned out and they're back in the, maybe in a worse situation than they started with. For you too, saints. It's not a very big crowd here, but this message is for somebody either here or on the internet or in a recorded CD if you're not here. Amen? This is a general message for saint and sinner alike. Saints need restoration also. Having put away, are we putting away a good conscience? The result will be shipwreck. You're going to be miserable like we were in that van. Life is going to be miserable if you put away a good conscience. Don't take out the filter and throw it away. Leave the filter in there. The man told me, I could take the filter out and the air would come out stronger, but with time, it'll ruin again the mortar. It'll even mess up some more parts of the vehicle. And I thought, well, no, don't leave it in. Leave it in, I said. Amen? 1 Timothy, verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That's what we're talking about today. The Lord wants to restore your defiled, your evil conscience, and he wants to give us a pure conscience. It's wonderful to have a pure conscience, saints. It's wonderful to be able to sleep at night because you're not cheating on the taxes. Yes, we might make some mistakes. I worry about that sometimes. But you're declaring it all. You're being honest. Amen? You have a pure conscience. Amen? At work, you don't have to worry about the boss catching you because you want him to catch you. You want him to catch you doing a good job. You're not going, oh, he's not here. Let me go talk in the cell. No. You have a good conscience, a pure conscience. You do it as unto the Lord at your job. You enjoy going to work because you're giving it your best. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen? Yes. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure, he wants to give us a pure conscience, saints. How does it happen? By the washing of the Word of God, washing of the blood of Jesus, and in the second work of grace, he purifies us entirely. That's when the Holy Spirit enters our heart, enters our soul. Once he was with us, now he's in us, and that flame, that fire of the Holy Spirit purifies us entirely. It's an entire purification. Amen? I so appreciate the parable of the prodigal son. You can get so many lessons from it. The prodigal son was at one time free from an evil conscience. He was free from a defiled conscience. But something in his heart tugged and pulled the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he went out and lived his life with riotous living. What could we say is riotous living today? The discotheque. Relationships outside of marriage that are illicit for a person to have. Drug abuse. Lying, cheating, stealing, murder, theft. Amen? He lived a riotous. It doesn't tell us in what way. His brother said he wasted his money with women of the night, amen? He spent his money with riotous, all of his living with riotous living. Was there hope for him? We know the ending of the story. We know the beginning and the ending. He came to his mind and he said in Luke 15, verse I'll read verse 13 to tell what he did first. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And he would come repenting, saying, Father, I have sinned. The son was in the house, and he was at liberty. He was free from the spirit of being riotous. But he became bound to it. He went out into the world and became bound to it. Now he was in need of what? Of being set free. He was needing his liberty to be restored. Do you have liberty today? Nobody wants to be a slave to anybody, but if you're not serving the Lord, if you don't choose to be a willing slave of the Lord, you will be a slave either to the world, the flesh, or the devil, whether you want to or not. There's a story that I've heard through the years that I've really enjoyed. This was in the days when they were still trafficking Africans from Africa in the early days. And they would put them out on market and they would sell them, sadly. It's a very sad situation where they're so thankful for the act of emancipation and what occurred years later. Amen? That we don't believe in that. We don't do that anymore. But they did in these days. And there was a slave being sold in the market, and a rich man, a white man, came about and he wanted to buy him. And the slave saw him and he said, I'm not going with you. He didn't listen to him. I'm not going. You take me kicking and screaming. I'm not going with you. Well, the man that had the money purchased him. And the man said, I'm not going with you. He says, you don't have to go with me. I just paid for you to be set free. He goes, what did you do? I just paid for you to go free. And the reaction of that man was so shocked that he started to cry and tremble. And he fell down before the one that paid for him. He says, tell me what you want me to do. I'll be your servant forever. Tell me what you want me to do. When and where? Once he realized that this man was not trying to enslave him, trying to give him. Do you feel that serving the Lord is slavery? No. Legalism, the do's and don'ts, and I can't go here and I can't do that. Well, that will occur. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, but it won't come about that way. You won't want to do it anymore. You won't want to do the things that displease, because he'll take away your stony heart and all things will become new. You'll love to be with God's people. You'll love to sing the hymns. People will have to tell you, that's enough singing, be quiet. Because you'll love to sing the hymns. The saints might have to tell you, it's already 1 o'clock and we have to go to bed because you're asking all these questions about the Bible. That's what happened to me. I never knew anything about the Bible. And once I was saved, I was asking the 90-year-old black man that was the first Christian that I met. I keep him up till 1, 2 in the morning, and finally I have to say, we have to go to bed, Tony. We'll talk about it tomorrow, because I was so restored and so into the Bible that I had never read, because I was raised Catholic and had never opened the Bible in my life. He restored my soul. He restored a love. That love that he created Adam and Eve with, he brought it back into my soul. He took away the stony heart and gave me a new heart. Well, the prodigal at one time wanted to leave. Like that slave, he didn't want to serve the father, but once he came to his senses, which was the first step, realizing the need. Once we realize the need, like me, I was willing to go take it to the mechanic. I stayed and I watched him, because I don't trust them, and not in the area that I'm in. I watch them do anything. I don't get in the way. I stand back, and then sometimes I step in and ask questions, and I step away. But they become so friendly that they let me watch right there, and I'm right there with my nose sticking in there, and I'm asking questions to be sure they do a good job. We're so thankful that the son, prodigal son, was in bondage. But his bondage that had been stolen, his liberty that had been stolen from him was restored. When he took the first step, he acknowledged and realized that where he was not where he wanted to be, and that he needed it changed. He left the pig's pen and started walking back home. When we acknowledge that we have sinned, we will start walking back home. We'll make that effort to take time off from work. We'll make that effort to go visit with the ministers, with the church of God, because we realize I need to be restored. The first step to restoration is realizing acknowledging that you're a drunkard, acknowledging that you're being abusive to your wife, acknowledging that you love money and that you've spent your whole lifetime accumulating things, and yet it doesn't make you happy. Amen? One of the first steps to restoration is realizing or acknowledging a need. Owning up to who you are and to where you're at. That's what will bring repentance. Amen? Repentance is necessary, but you can't repent if you don't realize that you need to repent. Amen? One of the other steps was seeking, asking, and knocking. Amen? And Jesus spoke about this. This is part of the doctrine of Christ. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, Jesus, our Savior, that shed his blood on Calvary's cross, said these words, the one who is the way, the life, and the truth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10. For everyone, not just an elite few. Anyone, everyone. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So once we realize, then we need to know where to go. Brother Michael was telling us today of the many false denominations today. Protestantism. It's confusing. But those of you that are here should not be confused. We have enough literature. There are enough ministers that you can go talk to them, and they can, by the foolishness of preaching, their souls are saved. God can use them to minister to your heart. Seek out that minister. Go to your home and pray, or right here, you can come and pray at the altar, and a minister will be sure and come and pray with you. Amen? Another step to restoration is asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen? Who are we seeking for? We're seeking for Jesus. We're seeking for the Word of God that has the power to change us. Amen? We're seeking for that guidance of the Holy Spirit. Another step to restoration is believing that that person that you're coming to resolve your problem, that they can do it, that they're able to do it. If we don't believe that God can, that Jesus can, that the Holy Spirit can, then we're never going to come. And the devil might tell you, your situation is different. You're in this situation. You have this happening in your life. And it's just too complicated. But the Lord can untangle it. He can work it all out. Just have faith. Trust that if we come to him, that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He's done it for many here. He can do it for you also. Amen. So faith is required. We read of in Mark chapter 5, praise the Lord, in verse 35, and while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. He put them all out. He took her by the hand. He said, tell Etha Kumai, in verse 41, took her by the hand, and she arose. It says, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. This man came believing that Jesus could take care of the problem. What if the father had not come to Jesus? The daughter would not have been healed. One of the steps, restoration isn't going to go plop and fall on you. You have to acknowledge that you need it. Him, the restorer. You have to ask, seek, and knock, and then believe. If I didn't believe that those mechanics could help me, I had had them do previous work. I know they're very meticulous, and they really care about the client, and they want to do a good job, and I like that. They might make mistakes. They're human, but God will not make a mistake. And we can trust him. We have others who will testify and are testifying to us that look at their lives. Look what God has done for them. They're a walking advertisement that Jesus changes lives and he makes your life better, sweeter, more enjoyable. Even when you get older, you're not cranky and complaining all the time. Amen? Because you've got something to be thankful about. You're thanking and praising and glorying before the Lord. Amen? I've been into some rest homes and people that are not saved and they're complaining and griping. And that's their song, complaining, gripe. But I've been in homes where there are saints saved. Even from the church that I left, they were the sweetest spirits. They were thankful. They were praising God. Even in their disability and in their lack of being able to do what they could do before, they were thankful and they were praising God. All saints, restoration is wonderful. Amen? So another step that's required in restoration is believing in the one that you are coming to, that he is able. My dad, when I was growing up, he was an auto body man. An auto body man will take a car that's been crashed and they'll take out the dents and replace parts that are broken, like the windshield or some fenders. And they would make holes in the side that had been dented in and then screw something in. And then they had a, I don't know all the names, a metal thing that they hit it with and it pull it out. Amen. And it still looked ugly. But then my dad would put some Bondo on it. It's a liquid that gets hard. And then he'd sand it to the groove of the car. And then they'd put several layers of paint. And then finally the main paint and then the gloss. And he'd put stripes in. But people would leave the vehicle with him because they had seen walking advertisements. My dad would pick a vehicle. They loved the price. They loved the way it looked. And they say, I want mine to look like that. Look at my. So they leave it. And when they come back, they go, where's my vehicle? So that's it. Nah, you're kidding me. That's not my vehicle. They go, hey, that's my vehicle. That's your vehicle. They go, that's my vehicle? It was even better than they thought it was going to be. Amen? Serving the Lord will be better than you even thought. What was the Queen of Sheba she said? That it was, the half was not told me. Amen? Not even the half was told her. When she came to Solomon, she saw his descending and ascending and the meat, the food that was served and the way the servants were dressed and the glory of it all. She says it was far better. It exceeded my expectation. The half was not told unto me. I want to tell you that serving the Lord is better than remaining with an impure conscience, than remaining in bondage to the world. It's better. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the last steps that I mentioned was committing our cause to the Lord. Once you have confidence that the person can do it, then it'd be foolish not to leave your car or your watch with them, would it not be? Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints, that once we feel our need, once we acknowledge our need and seek and ask and knock and find the one who can do it, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Savior, then there's the need like that little boy that didn't want to let go of his vehicle toy. You've got to turn it over. If I had not taken my car to the mechanic, I would have driven to Monarch with hot heat again. Amen? And the rest of the year kept on with the same problem. Do you trust? I know we've been hurt. We've been damaged. The world damages. Your father might have not been faithful. Your mother might have not been faithful. Somebody might have backstabbed you. But thank the Lord that there's someone that we can have confidence in. His mercies are new every morning. He will not fail you. There's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible if you will believe. Do you believe today? All things can be possible for you today if you will believe. If you will only believe. And that's what Jesus told this man whose daughter was healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, if you will believe only, I believe, he said, be not afraid, only believe. And Jesus tells you today, be not afraid. Put aside your apprehensions, put aside your fears, and just step out in faith and believe. Just step out in faith and believe. I trust you will not be disappointed. Amen. He will take away the old, and all things will become new. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. The step that we reached is committing all our cause to the Lord. It says in Job chapter 5, verse 7. Job 5, 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Right there we have the seeking that follows, that is followed by committing. Amen? Yes. After faith, if we have real faith, we will commit to it. Amen? Amen? When I asked my wife to marry me, she had to have confidence in me already. She had to be willing to commit to me before she said, I do, I will. I took her up to a high finance restaurant there in the hills of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I reserved a spot overlooking the lights of Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the Sandia Mountains, at high finance restaurant. We had already prayed and talked for 5 months, almost 5 months. We'd gained confidence that she had a relationship with the Lord. I had a relationship with the Lord. She knew that I loved her, that I really cared for her. And when I said to her, will you marry me? She started to cry, and I started to cry, and she said, yes. Why did she say yes? Because she had already gained confidence in me. She knew that who I was, and that I was really true, and I was not a hypocrite, amen? She was looking for a faithful man, a man that loved the Lord, amen? An older man, and I fit that bill. My wife was so young looking that she had teenagers running after her. She was 30 and she'd have these 15 years old after her. And she said, I'm sorry, I'm 30. They go, you're 30? We thought you were 15, they tell her. So she was tired of that. She was looking for an older man. A man that was responsible. She didn't want to have to take care of diapers. Amen? Thank the Lord. Well, if you have confidence, if you start reading the Bible and gain a confidence in the Lord, it'll be easy to commit your life unto Him. That's why we want you to come to the gospel meetings. That's why we want you to come to Monarch. That's why we want you to come to the revival meetings, assembly meetings. That's why we encourage you to read the Word of God. That's why we encourage you young people to spend time with the saved young people. Because they're strong and they're not going to be swayed by you. They're going to touch your heart. And they're going to help you to commit yourself unto the Lord. Just like my wife said, yes. And we had only known each other for 5 months, but there was a lot that occurred at that time in asking questions where she knew she could commit her life into my hands as a wife, I mean, and I as her husband. Unto God would I commit my cause. Are you willing to commit your cause today? Have you seen the examples like they saw my dad, the vehicles? Have you seen the beauty of the restoration? If you've seen it, what are you waiting for? Don't be like me that said, why did I wait so long? You can be enjoying, woo, salvation right now. You can be enjoying being able to hug your enemy instead of punching them out and pulling their hair out. You can take your enemy out to eat. You don't have to be manipulated by the attitudes of others. You can manipulate the attitudes of others by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? You can change the environment from cursing to praising. Woo, hallelujah. One time we were in a bus and they were all cursing. These kids got on and said, what is Mexico? And they were cursing and saying bad stories. And I felt bad and I told them, I'm just going to start singing. Let's start singing. We started singing. The whole attitude in that bus changed from cursing to, they all started joining us and singing. I thought they were going to get mad and walk out. They joined us. When you are saved and restored, you don't have to be manipulated by the world. You can be the leader in the world, amen? You don't have to be led of the devil. You can lead others to Christ, amen? You can bring a sweet attitude and disposition to your workplace. You don't have to join down and get dirty with them, amen? Praise the Lord. Because all things are become new. Oh, may the Lord help us to commit our cause. And those of us that are saved, there might be areas in our life where we yet need to commit because we've taken it up again. May the Lord help us to recommit. How many times the devil has brought fears into my heart and I've said, I don't know if we should keep on doing this or doing that. I don't know. And then I say, that's the devil. I'm going to rebuke that spirit of the devil. I'm going to trust in the Lord and commit my cause to Him. And it all works out good. Not just good, exceedingly better than what I thought. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. the Lord sometimes has to say to us, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In order for the Egyptians to be freed from, God's people to be freed from the Egyptians, we all know the story, I won't go into it, the plagues. Pharaoh let them go, they're crossing the Red Sea, and now there's water and they can't go across, and the enemies, the Egyptians, are after them. And God says, tell them to go forward. And he said, tell them, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. It might seem like a big ocean for you to cross over and leave behind your friends, your old lifestyle, but take the leap of faith. Start going forward. Amen. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear is another thing that we have to overcome if we're going to commit to the Lord. Amen. We must fear not and trust in the Lord if we're going to go forward. We need to put away fear. Unsaved people need to put away fear, and saved people need to put away fear. Amen. We can't allow fear to paralyze us. It can. And it'll keep us from doing something that we could have done if we don't commit it to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another way that the Lord, I mentioned four, but there are other steps that I would like to mention. For those of us that are saved, it says in Job 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Another thing that the Lord uses to restore purity in our lives is he sends trials. He sends difficult times, amen? But those difficult times are the ones that restore our sweet relationship with the Lord again and a closer walk with him. There's once a story about a little boy that had made a little sailboat, and he was sailing it on a lake, and the wind took it far away from him, and he couldn't reach the little boat. And a man came along, and he said, why are you crying? Because the little boy started crying. He says, I can't reach my little boat. It's way out there. He said, let me get it to you, for you. Oh, he said, good. The man picked up rocks and started throwing them at the sailboat. Only they were going a little bit past the sailboat, and it hit, and it splashed. It would make waves. See the little circle waves? Each little wave would bring the boat closer to the boy through another rock. And sometimes we might feel that the Lord is allowing too many trials and tests. But be assured, if you show the right attitude, if you commit your cause to the Lord and you trust the man that's throwing the rocks and don't take things into your own hand and start fighting, he could have said, no, don't do it, stop it. But he didn't. He let him. He just watched. And the little boat came back to the boy. And sometimes it's those waves, it's those trials, they'll bring a sweeter, deeper, precious relationship in our, a deeper trust, a greater trust. Kind of like David when he faced Goliath, God had delivered him out of the hand of the lion and the bear, and he was something bigger than the bear. He said, God delivered me out of the hand of the lion and out of the hand of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Amen? Each test and trial will bring greater trust, and I'm thankful that that's been the case with me. A pearl is formed by constant irritation, a diamond by constant pressure, and a vessel is formed likewise by the constant molding of the potter. All of that, when that irritation gets into the oyster, it wants to get rid of it, and it starts pouring out the nacre, the tears, and it starts, that's how the pearl is formed. One way that the Lord will restore us, restore unto us the joy of our salvation, restore those precious moments with him might be through allowing a trial, losing somebody, an accident, losing your job, losing your health. And he uses that sometimes to restore spiritual values and qualities into our life. Amen? So don't kick against it. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What does that mean? The gold, it's mixed in with rock and other minerals, and it has to be boiled, put through flames, and all those impurities are float up and they're taken out, and there remains pure gold. For the gold to be purified physically, it has to go through trials. And one way that the Lord uses to restore us at times is through trials. Amen. Psalm 23, I love this verse. Psalm 23, verse 3, very familiar to us all. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. To restore means to bring back to the original function the original purpose. Amen? How many of you, after you're done with your, Sister Maxine, when you're done with your skirt that you wear all day long in your blouse, do you throw it in the trash? She puts it in a hamper, collecting a few clothes so she can wash it. And we might feel stinky and dirty today. We might be splotched, and today I got some grease on this shirt, and I'm not going to throw it away. That stain can be taken out. Amen? He wants to restore your soul. He wants to throw you into his washer, the washer of the Word of God. And he wants to put in the bleach and the shout, the stain remover, and he will remove it. There was once two friends were walking after it rained. They were staying at a home, as guests in a home, and they were taking a walk. It rained. There was a lot of mud puddles, and one of them saw a handle in a mud puddle, and he reached down to get it, and the man said, his friend said, no, don't touch it. That could be, have all kinds of diseases. We reached in and got it, and it was a handle. It was a china cup, but it was all dirty and filthy. And the man that picked it out said, I'm going to take it and drink hot tea from it in the morning in the home that I'm staying. The man said, no, it could be, could get you sick. He says, no, I'm going to wash it, and I'm going to disinfect it. So when they got to the home, before he entered the home, he washed it off with the water hose outside, got off the main mud, and then he took it to the kitchen sink, bleached and soap, and washed it. And as he was finishing drying it off, the woman of the home came in and says, oh, this is my china cup. I'm going to drink tea from it. Oh, she goes, okay. So she got the china cup, and guess where she put it? She put it up in the cabinet along with the other good, fine chinaware, with the silverware. The Lord picks us up out of the dust, and he sets us with the princes of his people. Brother Michael was telling us about being royalty. Amen? Yeah. Priests, we're reigning with Christ. And that's what happens. He took us out. Some had a lower lifestyle than others. Thank the Lord that the Lord caught me before I went into drugs and alcohol. I never drank or smoked. I don't say that to my honor or glory. I never did drugs. I never went to dance and danced. I never entered a casino and betted. I never went into a discotheque. Does that make me better than you? No. He still had to save me. He still had to take me out of the mud in which I was in. You might have done worse. But he's going to take you, and he's going to use you as a vessel unto his honor and to his glory. He can restore you. He can take you out of that mud puddle, and he can put you with the princes of his people. Amen. Thank the Lord. He restoreth my soul. What's the soul? It's your most inner being. It's what that life that was breathed into you, into Adam and Eve, the breath of God came in and they became a living soul. And that living soul is what will live forever. And he wants to restore it. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore salvation. He wants to bring back his image of perfection. He wants to give us the first work of grace and the second work of grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're almost finished. It says in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This was to the chief musician, a psalm of David. We all know what had occurred, what it caused for there to be a need in David's soul. David was a man after God's own heart, just beautiful relationship with the Lord. But he saw a woman in a rooftop. He saw her unclothed. That's why it's important for us to be clothed, saints. Cover up those arms and those parts. It'll be tempting. And he looked upon the woman, and he saw that she was beautiful. He called her unto himself, and we know the rest of the story. He did something that was very displeasing to the Lord. He even had the woman's husband killed to try to cover it up. God punished him by taking away the life of the child. And later on, David repented. He received the punishments from the Lord. And now he was saying, take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. He was saying, restore unto me. You're saying, I failed. I've just messed up really bad. I'm here, but I can't be a part of the saints anymore. I want to tell you that the Lord is saying unto you, I will restore unto you the joy of your salvation. If you'll own up to it, if you'll acknowledge it, seek, ask, knock, if you'll trust me and then commit, the joy of your salvation will return to you again. Amen. I leap because that's what people do when they win the lottery. They go, woo! Amen. We've won more than the lottery. Amen. Amen. We have eternal salvation. We have a reason to shout and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. He wants to. There's also quiet joy, contentment. You don't have to be shouting and leaping. I'm not saying that. You can just be content without shouting and leaping too. And people can see it quietly in your daily life and they go, I want what you have. What is it? How did you get it? Where did you get it from? Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, if God could restore David's soul after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, brother, sister, he can restore the joy of your salvation if you will only follow the steps to restoration. Amen. Don't wait too long. Don't be like me and say, why did I wait so long? Don't let your youth, you could be used right now in the body, in the church of God, while you're young, while you're 18, while you're 20, while you're 30. Don't wait till you're 100 and can barely, I finally made it to Mark. No, you saints, you can come right now while you're young, while you still have breath. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to use you right now. And there'll be joy in being used of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in Isaiah 57 verse 18, I have seen his ways and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I really have appreciated the testimony of Sister Maxine Busby. She and Brother Lauren just were like two little hearts glued together. They complimented one another and she depended on him for her ministry. And he consecrated to it to be with her and to support her. But then he passed away. And I was very concerned that Sister Maxine would just go into a deep tunnel of grief and sorrow and sadness. And yes, it's good to grieve. It's good to cry. And she did. But she said one night, I might get it wrong, Sister Maxine, but she said that first night that she stayed alone in her home, she went to her bedroom. And she was fearing that night. And when she sat in that room, that the glory of the Lord flooded that room. Amen. The Lord restored to her comforts. And we have someone that's called the Comforter. When we are saved, he's with us. And when we are sanctified, he's in us. He makes his abode in us. And we have a Comforter. Amen. One time some saints told about, I'm going to stop soon here. Lord help me. They were flying in an airplane. And they see smoke coming out of one of the wings and blowing up. And they're going, is this a movie? Is this for real? They're going, the saints are saying this. And the pilot comes over the airways. We don't want anybody to be too overreact, but we're having a few technical difficulties. And they're going, yeah, the engine is on fire. And all of a sudden, the nuns got out the rosary and going, oh, Mary, Mother of God. And they're praying, and oh, save me, help us. And this couple that are saved just stayed sitting down. And everybody's looking, aren't you going to pray? They go, we prayed this morning, and we pray continue. We're trusting in the Lord. They just sat there. They said, if this is our time, we're gone, that's okay. Why? Because the Lord gives them comfort, gives us comfort in the most bewildering, shocking, is this happening to me really? Times, amen? Oh, praise the Lord that he restores comforts unto us in times when the devil comes and takes away our comfort. Someone says something that robs us of our comfort if we let them. The Lord can restore comforts unto us, amen? Isn't that a wonderful restoration? The Lord wants to restore comfort unto you today. And may we let him, saints. May we let the Lord, like Brother Marty was mentioning, how oft would I have gathered you underneath my wings and you would not? We can cuddle underneath his wings and we can be comforted. Praise the Lord. To finish, one last verse in Jeremiah. I love this verse. It says in Jeremiah 18 that Jeremiah went to the potter's house. Verse 4, we're in Jeremiah 18, verse 4. And the vessel that he made, that the potter was making of clay, was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He said, the word came unto Jeremiah saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hand is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. He made it again, another vessel. And maybe the devil tells us, no, you've really messed up. You've gone too far. But I want to assure you that he wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore the joy of your salvation. You can come to him like the prodigal son who had wasted it all with riotous living. But when he stepped through that door, he was set free. He was accepted, embraced, hugged, kissed, given the best robe, had the fatted calf given to him. Praise the Lord. Oh, saints, we're so thankful. If we're like the little boy today, saying, I want restoration, but you don't want to let go of your life, your will, your own plans, I encourage you, let go. Trust. And you'll be amazed at the restoration that the Lord will do in your life.